So yesterday we told you that the state Supreme Court, on a 6-0 vote with one justice abstaining because of a conflict, ruled that the attorney general had erred in using a one-man grand jury not just to investigate, but also to indict in the Flint water cases. It was a stunning defeat for the attorney general. But I wanted to have a larger conversation about why you and I should care about whether it's a citizen's grand jury or a one-man grand jury. This is quite unusual to Michigan. It's quite uncommon anywhere else in the country. And why it's something that concerns us. We shouldn't get into the weeds here, but this is about your rights if you are criminally accused. We welcome in Judge Henry Saad, the former chief judge of the Michigan Court of Appeals, also a federal judiciary appointee back in the day. Judge Saad, good to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Guy. Good to be with you.
Why would the attorney general want a one-man grand jury as opposed to a panel of citizens in this case?
Well, it could have been for efficiency purposes, but as you know, Guy, the Supreme Court did not inquire into her motivation. That was not the issue. The issue that Chief Justice Bridget McCormick looked at is, if somebody is charged by a one-person or one-man grand jury, is the defendant entitled to the preliminary exam? And the answer was pretty easy. Yes, that's been a foundational protection for citizens, that if there is a charge, they have a right to cross-examine witnesses at a preliminary exam before an independent judge who can make a determination whether the matter ought to go to trial. Because charging for probable cause is entirely different, based on hearsay, based on somebody's suppositions about a lot of things. But that preliminary exam stands as the bulwark for anybody who is charged, whether it's a one-man grand jury or anything. And Justice McCormick, who spent a lot of time in the criminal justice system, knows pretty clearly that's why it's a 6-0 decision,
right,
and not 12. And on the indictment, as you know, because you've read the decision, the legislature, it was pure statutory interpretation. The legislature, in fact, had at one point that this one judge statute authorization could indict, and they removed that, which is
right,
pretty solid evidence that, no, you don't have that authority to do it.
So let me just give you the quote from Justice McCormick that you just referenced there, which is, she says, a Genesee County judge served as the one-man grand jury and considered the evidence not in a public courtroom, but in secret. A star chamber comeback. To this day, the defendants do not know what evidence the prosecutor presented to convince the grand jury or juror to charge them. And that's really the key thing here, is that they denied these defendants the right to see what evidence was there.
And that's the function of a preliminary exam, because everybody, you know, criminal law 101, criminal procedure, they teach you in law school, that when you're charged, when there is an indictment, you have a preliminary exam to test the evidence. And a judge sitting independently, objectively, at that preliminary exam will make the determination after the defendant has a right to cross-examine those who have made broad evidence, mm-hmm, to support the charge. And that's missing here. So that's why it's a 6-0 decision, Guy, because it's so clear that a preliminary exam has been so foundational to the criminal justice system, you can't circumvent that by having either a citizen's grand jury or one-man grand jury. There is still a right to a preliminary exam. So that's unexceptional. It's not controversial, just as their reading of the statute is unexceptional. They're not making any claims about what the underlying facts are, where it goes from here. They are protecting citizens in general, which is what your instincts have just told you. They're protecting citizens,
right,
from, quote, what she says is much like a star chamber, where you have no idea what was said, what was done, and should you go to trial based on that? No, you have to have a preliminary exam.
What does it say about the attorney general and her regard for these civic protections that she would go that route? And in retrospect, was it a critical and perhaps fatal miscalculation on her part for this case?
Well, let me take the easy way out on that one and say, as a former member of the judiciary, I won't comment on anything about any attorney general, this or anybody else. I will only say what I think is the appropriate decision by the Supreme Court, and they got it right on both issues. And what this says for the future, I don't know. The only thing I do know is that for any case that comes before the judiciary, it's now quite clear that a preliminary exam will be the result, whether it's a one-person grand jury, a one-man grand jury, a one-judge grand jury. Criminal defendants have the right to make sure that they cross-examine witnesses, which yeah. is have you know, and as you know, that is a constitutional right to confront witnesses when you're in trial. That has been a long-established right. I think she even quoted case law back to the 1100s.
Well, I asked you a highly speculative question, and I should have known that you would politely recuse yourself from that. But if had you been prosecuting this case, and you would no doubt have been aware of the legislative intent here not to use one-man grand juries as indicting agents, would you say that that was a fatal error in judgment?
I wouldn't comment on that, Guy, only because as a member of the judiciary, you just take what comes before you, you rule on the case. And I would say this, prosecutors charge, prosecutors bring indictments. It's up to the judiciary to hold preliminary exams right. as a protection to individual defendants. So the prosecutorial role is so much different. And that, you know, she doesn't, Chief Justice McCormick doesn't go through that analysis. She didn't have to because it was so clear.
Right.
But that's part of it. You know, there's checks and balances.
The important
the prosecutor
thing,
has one. Yeah.
Those citizen rights were defended yesterday and defended in a way that went beyond partisanship, that went beyond political leanings. It truly was a very, very direct verdict from these six justices that sat in judgment of this. And we'll leave it to our listeners to weigh it in regards to what they think of Dana Nessel's approach this.
I think this is a fundamental right that the court was declaring.
Sure.
And it really didn't matter that this was the Flint Water or any other case. It said nothing about the issues involving Flint Water. Mm-hmm. It simply said that criminal defendants have this right. They have had it for many, many years, and they're not going to take it away. And that's a pretty good decision.
It sure was. Judge Sodds, thank you so much. You have a great day, my friend.
You too, Guy. Thank you very much.